The Final Play Podcast would like to welcome you to the following presentation of the National Rugby League.
A little bit of DMX to sort of get us in the mood. A little bit of the rain.
That's probably more of a shout out for our New South Wales people out there, because clearly
they've had a little bit of the southeast.
Little bit.
As of late, but definitely a shout out to our southern listeners out there, and stay safe in the rain, and remember, if it's flooded, forget it. All right, you know, see those ads on TV all the time. So very, very wet weekend in New South Wales, not so much up here in Queensland, especially for the football, and especially up here in Townsville. I was at the game on Saturday night, and absolutely first time I've been into Queensland Country Bank Stadium, the new stadium up here in Townsville. Amazing. Absolutely.
Is it the first time you've actually been?
Never set foot in there. I've driven past it hundred times.
A thousand times.
Never set foot in there.
Okay. Interesting you say that, because we thought we'd just sort of straight off the top is talk about, it's funny that you say rain, and then it's funny that you say you're at the Cowboys game, but I mean, how good was the completion rate if you want to compare Queensland and New South Wales?
Well, it's just, I don't know, it's just something I sort of did off my own bat. I didn't sort of steal anybody else's research, and it didn't take very long to do. But just one thing that sort of stuck out throughout this weekend was, mostly the commentary teams in New South Wales complimenting the sides down there in New South Wales playing in the rain and how good their completion rates were. Whereas the two games that were in Queensland, the one on the Gold Coast on Friday night and the one up here in Townsville on Saturday night, their completion rates were absolutely diabolical. A five seconds worth of statistical research, the average completion rate across all six games that were in New South Wales was near 80%, so 79.9%, which is pretty good. You know, you'd be happy at completing 80%. The two games that were in Queensland.
In pretty much can be torrential rain, so that's very good.
There was bits and pieces where the rain was disgraceful, like the Canterbury Penrith game. Some of the rain that was happening there.
Yeah.
And they had to remark the lines at Bankwest Stadium. I was getting confused looking at the soccer marking lines and not the. And not the rugby league line, so you see the 18-yard box for the A-League. So the two games that were in Queensland, the average completion rate was 71%. So a near 9% difference in nice, happy, dry, and okay, warm conditions. I understand that, but you know what I mean. Like that's unbelievable. Yeah, there was a couple of outlying games, like the Manly South game. Had ordinary completion rate. I think Manly completed like 69%.
Yeah.
And South like 73%. The Cronulla Canberra game was good for the first half, but then just horrendous. More so for Canberra. I think Canberra only completed just over 50% in the second half, and Cronulla weren't much better. By the end of the game, I think Cronulla ended up only completing like 62%, and it sort of dragged that average down a little bit. But across the six games in New South Wales, with a couple of outliers, terrific completion rates, especially this early in the season too. Like usually you don't associate high completion rates with round two, especially of a new season, which I was quite surprised at. But especially with trying conditions. In pretty much most games, it was either raining or it had rained beforehand, so conditions were very slippery.
If we start off the first game, the Eels versus Storm, the first Thursday night game, Eels getting over the Storm 16-12, and in literally like that last, I mean, it was fairly even in a sloppy, albeit sloppy, rain-deprived game. But that Mike Aceve, just catch on the 76th minute obviously clinched a win for him.
No, that's right. And it was, and it sort of just, it was a bit of a points barrage sort of in that last, you know, 12 to 30 minutes as well. It was just a bit of a stalemate throughout sort of the early part of that game, like 6-all at half time. And it just looked like both teams were trying to find a little bit of rhythm attacking wise, you know, in the, you know, fairly poor conditions. So, you know, just hanging on to the ball was paramount. As the game sort of went on, you know, there was one mistake by each team in the first 20 minutes. Yeah. And only three mistakes by each team in the first half. So completion rates in this game, this is where it started. You know, like these are two high quality sides.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, that both teams are only making three mistakes each in the first half. That's terrific.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I look, and to me, any game, it doesn't matter who's playing and how well they're going. Generally, 9 times out of 10, if it's a rain-deprived game, like a lot of these were, you sort of throw that team out the window, and it's sort of like a pot shot for who wins. It happens generally all the time. Yes, there's a couple of strong teams, but generally that's how it's played. I'm still trying to work out, and this is on the Storm side because I'm a Storm supporter, I'm still trying to work out Justin Ollam. He had a good game in this. He had a pretty decent sort of game.
He had a good game until the very last minute.
That's
where
what
it was,
I mean.
Like the third tackle and decided to kick for the in goal with like 15 meters out. They still had two more tackles left.
Yes.
It's like that's not the right decision.
He did the right thing in cutting inside, but then kicking on the second, like you said, but kicking when no one was running through, there was no Pappenhausen, there was nobody running through except for himself.
That's exactly right. That's for himself.
Adokar was looking around like, what the hell was going on? He played pretty good. He had that lapse last week. I'm sure he got a head knock, but last week where he must have thought it was a knock on, and he just sort of put the ball to the side, and that was sort of that. But
I reckon he thought it was like a training run. And he was standing sideways. He was pointing himself towards the touchline, and he just dropped the beat. He just puts the ball on the ground as if to say, "Oh yeah, I'll just give up."
Yeah, that was he's a great player. He's a PNG player as well. So yeah, I don't know. He just has those lapses, and that obviously to me, that's what. Once I seen that, I knew we were done for the game. I didn't expect, obviously, that 76-minute try, but I knew we were done for the game.
Ah, that's right. Like I said, you know, a bit of a flurry of points towards the end of that game, which sort of made it a little bit exciting, I guess, towards the end of it, because, you know, like we sort of said, you know, a bit of a stalemate throughout that.
Yeah.
You know, 6-all for a long, long time. And I thought it was a clear tactic of Parramatta as well, that they were going down the one side and they were bombing George Jennings a lot.
Yeah.
Trying to force him into making a mistake. And he did really well, you know.
Yeah,
it was commendable, the job that he did. But, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, a four-point win for Parramatta, I guess sort of the glaring story that has come out of this game. And, you know, media types on various platforms have sort of come out and condemned the Felice Kaufusi, I don't know, I guess sort of nasty elbow down on top of Ryan Madison.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what your sort of thoughts were on it. It didn't look terrific, and I thought it looked intentional. But looking at it in real time, that's just him. That's just a forceful push to the ground with, I guess, a forearm. But when you slow it down, it doesn't look very good.
It looked, yeah. No, when you slow it, no, when you slow anything down, it doesn't look good.
That's right.
It to me, it didn't. He clearly led with the elbow. I don't know how intentional it was. That's all. Like, he clearly did it, and he clearly. Well, I don't know. It didn't seem like he had intent, like you said, in the sort of normal speed play of the game.
In real time. And that's right, in real time.
But, it's. I mean, that doesn't make a difference. I mean, he's still left with the elbow.
I think he's been hit for 2 weeks. I'm pretty sure he's been hit for two weeks. He's going to miss time for it. I can only assume that that judiciary has seen that and have warranted, a two-week ban for it.
Our other glaring, it's not an issue. I can't wait for Harry Grant to come back. Not that Brandon Smith's playing terrible, but Harry Grant is clearly a better number nine than Brandon Smith.
I think he's got a little bit more stamina at this point in time. Like, you could see clearly towards the end of the game that Brandon Smith was gassed.
He was absolutely gasping
for air towards the end of it. And that was, you know, and once again, in the conditions that they were, they would have been very heavy underfoot, and you're going to exude a lot more energy.
But that's why and that's the only reason I could think, why are they putting this Tyson Smoothie on these first two games? They've put him on, who's an out-and-out number nine. I suppose he can be utility if he needs to be, but that exactly what you just said then, he was gassed. I'm assuming they just see that his conditioning, and this is why Tyson Smoothie's there, because it really didn't make sense him being in their interchange. But now it's starting to make sense more,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, that's right. It makes sense. And, yeah, he's sort of rivaling our boy Tex Hoy as one of the better names in the NRL at the moment, like, you know, Smoothie.
Smoothie and Hoy. The great thing with Tex is it's his first and last name, where he's got Smoothie. If his first name was like Chocolate or something, that'd be awesome. Chocolate. Then he would win hands down. If his first name was like Strawberry or Vanilla.
If his first name was Mango.
Mango. Hey, it's been known.
That's right. There's only one Mango and he resides up here.
Yeah, but it's just if he had any fruit in his first name, he would win hands down over Tex Hoy. Anyway, the next game was the first game on Friday. That was down in Central Coast. And the technically, if you want to look at it, it's a Warriors home game. But they went down to the Knights 2016, who are 2-0.
I not so much didn't expect a whole lot from this game, but no. I was pleasantly surprised at both teams' sort of effort. Throughout the whole sort of 80 minutes, I think Newcastle squandered a lot of chances, especially in that first half. They were forcing New Zealand, they were forcing the Warriors into a lot of errors coming out of their own half. And they were putting enough pressure on Newcastle, but not sort of asking the right questions to sort of put points on. So, obviously, Kurt Mann was out of this game, so... they had some makeshift halves there. Obviously they're powered by Mitchell Pearce and the way he goes. But I really like the way Jaden Brayley played in this game as well. I thought Bradman Best and Hymel Hunt are forming a very formidable center wing combination. On the left hand side, their two tries that they combined for. Bradman Best with a Matt Gidley-esque flick out the back with his left hand. I don't know if Bradman Best is left-handed, but it was perfect. Matt Gidley to Tamana Tahu flick, out the back and Hymel Hunt. Hymel Hunt got a double. But, I really like the way that those three, sort of played, especially Jaden Brayley, him up the middle.
Well, Jaden Brayley, interestingly enough, I can't remember if it was the first game, but he was a captain in this squad. So that's how much faith they have in him.
Yeah, exactly.
Bradman Best, I know he had that sort of, I think it was at some sort of discretion last year, if I remember, but he's only 19. I guarantee he'll be, maybe not this year, but he'll be in the New South Wales squad. He looks
He'll be there or thereabouts if he can sort of keep up this form. Like he's 19.
He doesn't have to be this year.
A future rep player. And if not, he can always sort of go into like a bodybuilding competition because his biceps are gigantic. So I think he really likes to hit those bicep curls in the bench press. But the other thing was it too was basically, you know, Newcastle having zero possession.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, by the end of it, they ended up having, you know, scratching away with 45% of possession. But for the first 60 minutes of that game, 41% of possession. So they just didn't have their hands on the ball. Once again, high completion rate.
Yeah. Very high.
It was the fact that you see that the Warriors are. They're playing with plenty of enthusiasm, like they did against the Gold Coast last week. They got the win. This week, you know, not a whole lot of flash, not a whole lot of polish on the end of sets. And it's sort of told by the end of it. You know, Newcastle were just a little bit more classy. But yeah, the Warriors, you know, did well to hang on as long as they did, you know, defensively. And they did the same thing against the Gold Coast last week. But it's sort of... Like I said, you know, not a whole lot of flash, but they were moving the ball well from sideline to sideline, you know, through sort of like backline movements and stuff like that. So I like the way that they did that. A little bit disappointing that Chanel Harris-Tavita has been hurt and he's gone for an extended period. It's three months.
Months.
Yeah, that really hurts because they don't have a lot of half depth.
No, they're over there
at the Warriors. So, well, they're not over there. They're kind of here. But, that's a little disappointing. So I think those one percenters that Nathan Brown will sort of instill in this squad, they're going to be paramount at the moment. Like, they're just going to have to out-effort and out-enthuse teams. But without Harris-Tavita there, who's I guess, just as creative as Cody Nicarima, but... Yeah, I think that's a big blow this early in the season.
Well, they still got Ewan Aitken out for that 10 weeks because he got
So, you know, they've got two high class players.
Yeah. So, they're going to find it tough the next few rounds. But, you know, like you just said, they're still enthusiastic, which is good. And that, to me, I mean, if you look at it, it's glaringly on the back of Aiden Fanua-Blake when they play. I mean, that's glaringly obvious, but that's good. And I think...
Such a good signing for them. Like, and
so is Bailey Sirinen.
Unfortunately, that's the problem. They're going to have good go forward, but it's just going to be creativity in the halves.
Yeah, for sure. Next game was the other Friday night game up if you're a New South Wales supporter, up in Queensland. It was the Titans getting over the Broncos, 28-16.
Three straight now for the Gold Coast over Big Brother.
Yeah. Yeah, hot start. I mean, that halftime 22-4, they were hot.
Look, yeah. and it took them a little while to sort of work into that game as well. Like, they scored you know, three tries in the final 10 minutes, and they just piled it on Brisbane. It was a good sort of arm wrestle. The thing for me that sort of as much as you don't really want to rag out on the referees, but the first two tries were glaring mistakes by the referee. The first try that was scored by the Gold Coast was off a mistake by Xavier Coates.
Yeah.
Which was not a mistake. He's dropped the ball, yes, but it's gone onto his foot and gone backwards.
Yeah.
How is that a knock on? Yeah. And the goalkeeper, you know, and Jared Wallace scores off that. So as a get square, and I don't, you know, as much as you want to buy into a get square, you know, as much as you like, the Brody Croft. Is the Brody Croft mistake where it went through his hands is a knock on every day of the week, but off that play, Tessie New scores over in the corner, and it ends up being 6-4. So they're just so glaring mistakes by the referee there. Those two tries sort of nullify each other, but it was just the relentless pressure that the Gold Coast sort of put on Brisbane, and then just do you know what I mean? Like, you know, the big boppers.
David Fafita was brilliant in that game, obviously. I mean, he got two tries and two line breaks. I think it looks like, because we were talking about it at the start, but it looks like going forward it's going to be Tyrone Heatshi playing that utility off the bench. Still getting the minutes, still getting their 45 decent minutes. And then, you know, he's saying it's Tino. Tino's going to get about 50 minutes starting at the lock. So it looks like that's what's going to happen moving forward. I know you're not the biggest fan of it, but
in our sort of preview, it was always going to be not so much a tough sell, but it's they're going Tyrone Peachy's going to have to buy into this utility role and Mr. Fix It again. But as long as they're winning, I think, you know, obviously you accept that role a little bit more. And they're just the way that this season could sort of pan out for the Gold Coast. There's obviously a lot of sort of hype, especially in sort of Queensland media, that they're going to be obviously the top team up here. But yeah, in saying that, they sort of tailed off towards the end of the game. Like Brisbane was sort of tearing in the last 10 minutes, Brisbane were tearing them to shreds. Yeah. You know, line break wise, just busting the line over and over. I think there was four line breaks in the last 10 minutes by Brisbane.
Yeah.
Could only put on, you know, that sort of late one try, I guess, to Vita Pangai Jr. But boy, do it early in the game. Like they want to come out there and say, oh, he's been super aggressive in the last 15 minutes or whatever. The game was gone.
Yeah, that's
they
exactly
They were
right.
totally shut out by that time. And now he decides to put in effort. Like maybe it's just the jersey that he wears. And I've said it before, he has two good games a year, and that's against the Cowboys. I just don't rate him. He's so inconsistent.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think Tyrone, the reason I brought up Tyrone, this is his final year with the Gold Coast. I'd suspect any team will pick him up, and if they're looking for a starting lock, I don't know if he'd stay there essentially, but
he'll have the offers rolling in.
Yeah. What's interesting as well, I noticed in this game, because it was sort of a sloppy game, but it's probably in every game.
It was a sloppy second half. It was a fairly good first half, but it was mistake riddled in the second half.
This will probably tie into a bit later, but it's just a lot across the board in this game, especially. I guess I noticed it more, and then the next game, run meters are just so easy to come by now. It's a joke if you don't get over 150 meters.
No. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
If you don't get over it. So I think that's what'll tie into something else later personally. But, it's just meters are just, you know, are so easy. It's like points in the NBA. Like, you know,
nobody wants to play defense because it's not a glamorous thing. You don't get statistical, you know, value and appreciation for defense. You know, this, you know, rugby league at the moment, you're running people just ragged. And as much as they want to say that brings your little man into the game and blah blah blah, but it also makes for sloppy football. Fatigue creates mistakes. Fatigue creates injuries, you know, like soft tissue injuries. And I'll say it till I'm blue in the face all year. That's just what it's going to do.
Yeah, no, I agree. Next game was the first Saturday game, the Panthers beating Bulldogs 28 to blot. I love how then now for all these games, the ground conditions say slippery. That's all of them say slippery.
That's right.
Look, Penrith to me, it's the first game and the second game, they probably are the most well-balanced side coming from last year into this year. I know we may talk about the Roosters later, but they just look well balanced.
Look, then, everywhere. And to say, yeah, okay, that's fair enough. But both of those teams, the Panthers and the Roosters, haven't played very good teams.
Good point.
Each season is different. But yeah, just going into this season, I think we kind of knew that, you know, that the Bulldogs weren't going to be very good, the Cowboys weren't going to be very good, which were the Panthers' two opening opponents. I think we kind of knew that the West Tigers weren't going to be very good, and we kind of knew that Manly weren't going to be very good, and that was the Roosters' first two opponents. So, you know, let's pump the brakes on a little bit, but they're doing what they're supposed to do, and let's beat the bad teams.
Yeah, they are. I mean, from 1-13, I just think they have a well-balanced squad. Every sort of player stands out. There's really not one weakness that I've seen in the 1-13.
I think the only weakness that the Panthers might have as the season rolls on is depth.
possible death. Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, yeah, because they did lose a couple. So,
the thing was too, like, as if the Panthers don't need a leg up already. You know, they're always going to most likely dominate this game. The first try to Viliami Kikau was a total obstruction.
Yeah.
Total obstruction.
Yeah. It's like he had Kikau the heavens.
He hits the hole that Stephen Crichton creates. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
The heavens just somehow opened up, and it was the biggest gap I've ever seen.
Why do you need to give teams like this that kind of advantage?
Yeah. Yeah,
like, it was blatant, and not even we're going to go and have a look at it upstairs and let's look at the video review. Nah, we're just going to blow a try straight away in the fourth minute. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. It was, and that's, see, I know it's a fourth minute, but this is why, again, I don't think the whoever is calling.
Why do you think it was so easy for him?
Yeah, of course it was so easy for him. No, so I don't think. I don't get, you know, the whole challenge, right? The whole, you know, if your players get to challenge a call.
Yeah, captain's challenge.
That was clear to me, glaringly obvious. It's like they just don't think you think you have to use in the last 10 minutes because that's going to help you.
That was clear. It's pretty obvious.
That they should have used that in that first.
Absolutely.
So I just don't get why they don't. I don't know
like
if they,
the,
if
the now that with the stupid rule, well, not the stupid rule, but the ruling that they can do now is they can blow a try on the field and then later on, you know, they can sort of maybe have the bunker have a little bit of a sneak peek at it and then sort of tip off the referee and go while the conversion is being being placed out and the ball being put on the tee, and then the referee can sort of say, hey, we want to have a look at it. Nope, nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree.
Like,
yeah,
you had to have had question marks. As soon as I seen it live, it's like, question marks over that. And a try straight up, and then we're taking the conversion. It's just like, no, hang on a minute. No. Like, that was as an obvious obstruction as you can get.
Yeah. What did you think of the rest of the game? I mean, look, Bulldogs really, I wouldn't say they didn't have a chance, but they were... spirited is probably the best way to put it, because that's all I could sort of see. They seem spirited enough, at least.
Once again, this is sort of the same situation as the Cowboys last week. Penrith kept Canterbury to blot like they did with North Queensland last week. The scary thing about it was, if you want to sort of buy into conspiracy theories, it took 149 minutes of football for Canterbury to get their first penalty.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't like that. Okay, fair enough. You get your couple of set restarts and everything, but for a stop in play penalty, 149 minutes. I don't like that. I don't like that. I'm turning into Pauline Hanson. It just...
I don't know. I don't know.
And then just the way that the game ended as well, with the Cleary sort of, you know, cutting everybody up the middle.
Oh my god.
There was only you know, what, 10 minutes to go. You know, Dallin Martini Zalesniak. You know, hey, I can pump that out, and that's something I've got for you a little bit later as well. Dallin Martini Zalesniak. I can say his name. How about that?
Can you say the center's name for the Panthers too?
Which one's that?
Paul.
Oh yeah, no, Paul Momorowski.
Sorry, we're all tying this into something else later.
M-O-M. Anyway,
continue.
Wattini Zalesniak sort of hangs out a bit of a lazy arm, cops Nathan Cleary in the head, and everybody loses their mind. He not only does he get put on report, but he gets sent for 10. Now, if that is on Dylan Edwards, if that is on Paul Momorowski, does he get sent to the bin for 10?
No, of course
absolutely
not.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I know. It was a ridiculous call, especially at the end of the game. I mean, they were down and out anyway. Like, you got to think about those kind of things as a referee. They weren't going to go anywhere anyway.
It was just a lazy hang out of the arm. There was no intent with it. He's trying to go in hard. Like, I can understand there's a little bit of force there, but there's no intent.
It's just a lazy arm.
It's fatigue. Once again, everybody's favorite word, fatigue. We've got to have fatigue in the game. He's an outside back. He's a winger. They get fatigued too, you know. Not just forwards.
Of course they do, sorry. He hangs the arm. It should have been
there.
A report. That's all I took it.
Yeah, we all lose our mind, and he has to be sent for the bin for 10, which is BS.
Report, that's all I sort of took it. It should have been just a report, and that was it. That's all it should have been.
If he's got carryover points, maybe he misses a week, you know, for a high tackle.
It shouldn't have been 10 minutes.
Did not warrant 10 in the bin.
Next game was the second Saturday game. The Rabbitohs getting over the Seagulls in slippery conditions at Lottoland.
Is that the field conditions? Slippery?
Yeah, no, it's definitely slippery because the next game says fair conditions and that's up your end. So it was I thought from this game, I guess right up to half time, I thought the Manly were well in this game. They were well in this game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were playing pretty good. I guess, and then it's probably just because who they've got. I'm still, and this is just his defensive lapses. I'm still not sold at Dylan Walker at fullback, and I think this could be just little defensive lapses. Not his fault.
No, that's right. No, it's not his fault, and that's the thing. When you're trying to plug somebody in at fullback, and he's played 5'8", he's played center, he's had a few games of fullback, but he's not your traditional, safe as houses fullback at the back, and especially in trying conditions, slippery conditions. Yeah. He's always going to have trouble.
Yeah. And that's, again, it's not his fault. I don't know. I quite like him. I know they're going to have Kieran Foran for the rest of the year. I like him at 5'8", Dylan Walker. I think once Tommy Turbo comes back, I would assume he'll probably go as a utility on the bench, maybe? I don't know.
I think he'll just slot back into the centres.
Okay, that makes sense.
I think that's the logical place for him to go to. They've obviously got the big unit, Moses Suli there. Yeah. I think somebody like a Brad Parker. I like Jason Saab. I like him getting an opportunity at Manly, which he didn't really get a whole lot of at St. George. I think he only played a handful of games there at the Dragons. Him getting sort of first chop at wing while George Tafua is gone. I think he's gone for maybe half the season. So he'll sort of be a stalemate there. I think once Trbojevic comes back and goes back to fullback, I just think the logical choice for Dylan Walker is to go back to the centres. With that halves combination, they have to persist as long as Cherry Evans and Foran are healthy.
Yeah.
Then that will be 6 and 7. That goes without saying.
What do you think? He's given up the kicking duties to Ruben Garrick.
I mean, Ruben Garrick can kick goals.
Can kick goals. He's a decent
goal kicker.
He is. I'm just surprised Daly Cherry Evans is not the goal kicker because he's a pretty decent kicker too.
No, he's a good goal kicker. I guess you're just taking a little bit of responsibility away from him, I guess.
I think he was. I know they put chopped and changed Ruben Garrick everywhere. I don't mind him on the wing. Ruben Garrick's
a solid winger. I don't mind him there at all.
On the south side, I mean, I think to me the person that stood out star wise at least was Damien Cook because he had a terrible game in the first game. He played a lot better in this game. Wasn't just a try, just his all-round effort. Tackles. I think he had a couple of line breaks as well. That was the other thing I had down. So that's right.
Yeah.
That's how he should be. He wasn't exactly last in the first game. He was terrible the first game, to be completely honest.
He didn't do anything. He didn't engage the line. He didn't take on the markers. He didn't do anything. I think this game has sort of showed his true form, but against a side that South should be beating.
He played
the way that he should against a mediocre type team. So that's the kind of effort and that's the kind of performance that you want to see out of, a guy that's going to take you, if they want to go deep into the finals, their halves combination is going to be big for them in Adam Reynolds.
Oh, huge.
And Cody Walker is massive. Latrell Mitchell there as well, and Damien Cook. That spine there is as good as any spine in the NRL.
What did you think right at the end there, that little scuffle?
Yeah, a little bit of brouhaha at the end there, you know.
I swear to God.
I was more interested in Daily Cherry Evans' lovely flop job to get Mitchell to 10 minutes in the bin. I thought that was brilliant. I think he just breezed past him. Might have been a little bit of a gust of wind. Yeah. And Cherry Evans decides to go down in a heap like he's just been shot from the stands. I thought that was brilliant.
I think, and I honestly, at the end scuffle, I swear you couldn't tell because it was raining and then everyone was sort of, there's people, but something in the middle, I swear someone threw a punch. It doesn't look like it, but I swear someone did. Or well, they at least attempted to, so, because they won't do it anymore. Once you do it, 10 minutes, see you later.
No, well, you may as well have a chop in the last minute.
Well, you may as well. Next game was a game you did attend, you said. The Dragons beating your Cowboys 25-18.
Go ahead. Look, where to start? Oh, my God. Like, where to start? Like, just...
That was fair conditions.
A hot
sorry.
Start. Like, a hot start by North Queensland. Yeah. And the Dragons, they were rotten coming out of their own half.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys were putting all the pressure on. And they looked, obviously, a lot more fluent and a lot more crisp against, a side that isn't Penrith. The try that Cohen Hess scored was all pretty much right on the try line. So, you know, we got a gigantic eyeball full of that first try. So, they look very competent.
Their attack was great in the first half. They were getting more run meters. Yeah, they were really good for the first half.
They dominated the first 25 minutes of that game, even though sort of, you know, the Dragons, with their limited opportunities that they had, as soon as they went down the other end, they put points on. North Queensland's defense with the Dragons coming out of their own half was super physical.
Yeah.
Man, they were monstering them.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, this is going to be really good. And they give away a few cheeky penalties, a few six agains. And once they get down into the Cowboys' red zone, down inside the 20, they just open up like a can of tuna. It was ridiculous. So they just cannot defend the line. But their defense with the Dragons coming off their own line was really good. It just makes no sense.
Yeah. No, they're still not sliding. That's what I can see. They're still not sliding in that defense. I don't know. I fail to see. Why do they always have a problem in the centers?
Oh, I don't.
I shouldn't say that, but every time we thought you say Masters was going to be good, and defensively he's not good. Tobias Fidow, I know he's in the centres and I know he's very young, but I don't know if that's his true position.
No, you're almost better off. You're almost better off just switching him and Val around and just playing Val in the centre. Do you know what I mean? Just for a little bit of solidarity defensively, like, you know, Tobias Fidow is not so much a turnstile, but he's not the biggest dude in the world and he's fairly easily targeted. So you put him out on the wing. Changes are coming.
Queensland
sooner rather than later. I don't think they've got a choice in taking Clifford out of the side, putting Morgan back at 7, Drinkwater at 6, either Val or Tabuai Fidow at 1, and sort of interchange those guys and sort of have your centers sort of make shit like that. People out, especially up here calling for Michael Morgan to go into the centers, which is just lunacy. And you know why people call for that? Because you've got everyday couch fans that the only games of football that they watch per year is the 3 games of State of Origin. They've seen that Michael Morgan can shine in the center position at State of Origin. You know why he shines at the center position in State of Origin? Because he's got 16 other great freaking players around him.
Yeah.
People don't see that. They just say, hey, he's played center for Queensland. He must be great at center. No.
No, he's not.
He has to have the ball in his hands.
He does. He has to have the ball in his hands. I looked through at the team's 3 list that were announced as Savo, and from the 1 to 13 hasn't changed at all in terms of what you want, except obviously Kyle Felt's been replaced because he's had a 2-week suspension on 2 massive shots, but one of them...
Oh, man, but they're just shots gone wrong.
And yeah, stuff's gone wrong. So
yeah,
he's shaking
his head, and the crowd was booing and everything. It's just like, oh, look, you don't want to tell people in the crowd to shut up, you idiots. But you watch at it on the big screen. He's tilted him above the horizontal.
Yes, but everybody
wants to boo and complain. It's like, no, that in the modern game, that is what it is, and he's going to be in trouble.
Yeah, no, he is. I mean, they're great hits, but it's not the point. It's still above the horizontal.
As much as I want to be a one-eyed fan for North Queensland, but you know that he is going to be in trouble for those hits, and he's been pinged for 2 weeks. So, and it's, you know, I don't want to say it's deserved, but it's deserved.
Oh, it is. It is. It is definitely deserved.
You simply can't do that. This isn't 1994 anymore.
Yeah, you can't even. Yeah, that's like even people they love when they people do shoulder charges. You can't do that anymore either. So
can't do that anymore. It's just it is what it is. I thought probably the biggest play in the game was the Corey Norman field goal, pretty much right on halftime.
Yeah.
If the Cowboys are only chasing 6 points towards the end of that game, I think it's a little bit of a different story. But because they're chasing seven, they're chasing two scores. I think they sort of push the panic button a little bit, especially in that last probably 15 minutes as they're trying, to break the, you know, no points basically scored after the 60th minute. So the last 20 minutes was just absolute desperation on both ends, you know, desperation by the Cowboys to score and pretty good defense by St. George Illawarra in the end.
And I don't care who you are, if you go into a game like that, like anybody that's played, if you go into a game just, you know, getting that field goal on the 40th minute, you are thinking in the back of the mind straight away, you've got to score two tries. So
yeah, that's right, exactly.
And that's going in the sheds.
It's
and
a
that's
different
sort of,
mindset.
It was disheartening. But they fought back. They did pretty well. Unfortunately, just didn't get that, cross that final hurdle, the Cowboys.
And the other thing that sort of, it sort of irked me a little bit as well, only 15,000 there for first game of the season. And I don't know, maybe once again, that's just the one-eyedness coming out of me. It's like, come on, people, get out to this game. Get out to this stadium. It's unbelievable. 15,000 people there. It looked ridiculous. There better be more than that. I'm going to the Gold Coast game.
I think there'll be more
Sunday
at this
coming
game.
There better be more there. There better be 20,000+ there.
There'll be more at this game because I think with the Dragons, I don't think there's, it's a big Dragons sort of base up there.
I was sitting next to two Dragons fans. So.
But Titans definitely. I think that should sort of, you would expect get a decent sort of crowd anyway.
It's the last game on the Sunday afternoon. So, whether or not that might sort of shoot people away a little bit because everyone's got to go to work the next day. But at least you can sort of get home at a reasonable time. I think it's like a 5:15 kickoff. So I really hope that it doesn't affect the crowd too much. But yeah, I was pretty disappointed in only 15,000 there for the first game of the season. Basically, only the third event or fourth event at the new stadium that you're allowed to have crowds. Obviously, they had Elton John to open it up, the Broncos, which was a massive crowd, and then they had the I think it was the Tim, was it the was it Tim Zoo and
Tim
Zoo
fight. Yeah.
There was only like six or seven thousand people there because it was right in the height of our paranoia for COVID-19. So they were lucky to get that many people there. So I was a little disappointed that the crowd wasn't bigger, and I sort of hope for a bigger turnout next week.
Next game was the Roosters smashing the Tigers 40-6.
Okay, so the next game,
it is kind of like that because really the Tigers are sort of in this, they're making massive changes next week. Like Joey Leilua looks like he's being dropped. So it's kind of like that.
It was a clear plan to go down that side and target Leilua and Brooks. And they picked that fruit tree dry. Like they just kept going on. It was unbelievable how they picked that side apart. Clear game plan and work to perfection.
Yeah. No, there was not much else to say that. Brett Morris right now, is just before we move on to the next game, Brett Morris, he got 220 metres in this game and three line breaks. Brett Morris is leading the Dally M count. So he's got two perfect games. He got 6 points so far.
That won't come to fruition. Surely that trend can't continue. He scored 12. He scored 12 tries all last year. He's got six already.
Yeah, I know. I know they said they don't want to play Origin, but goddamn, if they're available, we'd be silly not to have them. But my favorite, and I've said at the start, I've been waiting for the odds to come on. I'm taking Pappenhausen, and that's, it's very early call, but I just think he can do enough. I mean, he's only just behind Brett Morrison 4 points, so still early days, of course.
No, that's right, and he's going to have to be, him and Munster are going to have to be the shining lights for Melbourne, I think, for most of this year. Harry Grant there as well, I think the glamour positions there, and obviously Pappenhausen is going to be the one that's going to be in the forefront of everybody's mind. So I think that's the way that's going to go. The Roosters put on a bit of a clinic.
Yeah.
Out there at Campbelltown. Yeah. Crummy conditions once again, but four tries down that Tigers left edge.
Yeah.
Was just brutal to watch. Just absolutely brutal to watch.
Yeah. Hence why Joey's been dropped this week. I mean, completely dropped. So it's a mismatched team. I'm still perplexed why Jimmy Tarmow, except obviously for the cash, went to this team.
Absolutely.
He went for cash, clearly, but it's perplexing except for the cash, there was nothing else they could have said to him that would have drawn him there. Not a thing. So
nope.
We'll move on to the last game because it was pretty much clinical that game. It was the Sharks losing to the Raiders 12-10. I guess a bit of a dogfight. It was Taylor two halves. That's what it sort of seemed like for me, at least.
Yeah, no, that's right. Exactly. Canberra had all the running in that first half. Being up 12-0 as well. And then just their second half was just absolutely horrifying.
Yeah.
Completion couldn't hang on to the ball to save themselves. But to Cronulla's defense, no pun intended. That's what kept them in the game.
Yeah.
Was their defensive effort. Because they had no right to be anywhere near as close as what they were.
Yeah.
And if Chad Townsend could kick a goal, then they might have actually won this game. He had two opportunities. Good point. Yeah, it just the relentless pressure that Canberra put on and Cronulla just kept turning them away and turning them away. It took them a long time to sort of, Canberra ended up having, by the end of the first half, having 34 tackles inside Cronulla's 20.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was only a matter of time before they cracked at the absolute worst time, right on halftime. Like they'd done so well. And I think that the dressing room would have been fairly, would have been buoyed in spirit, going in at 6-0.
Yeah,
but to go in 12-0 and you just be like, oh, that would be so deflating, that didn't let them get deterred at all.
Yeah,
and like I said, the Raiders were just absolutely diabolical in the second half.
In the second half, they really were. And it looked like their go forward, at least for the Sharks, was another Brayley, that Blake Brayley. So are they?
Yeah, he's the younger brother. Then he's very good too.
They're both good nines. It's kind of crazy, actually. I think they were both. Wasn't he at the Sharks, Jaden Brayley?
Yeah, that's right.
He was good. Their team's not too bad. Even Matt Moylan at number six isn't playing overly terrible. He's not playing great, but he's not playing terrible either.
And he's a class player. And that's the thing. Like, if he can sort of find a little bit of form before Sean Johnson comes back, then then it just creates a little bit of headache for John Morris and go, well, where do I put, if he's going to be one of our best 17 players, I have to find a spot for him, whether it's on the bench or I'm not sure what will happen, because Sean Johnson will obviously come straight back in to the side. But, at the end of it, it was for me, it was a get out of jail free card for Canberra, because they were just their own worst enemy in that second half, and for them to sort of eke out a 2-point win was, you know, sort of I guess a testament to them and the way that they sort of just sort of kept sort of cool heads when needed, especially towards the end of the game. And like I said, they, if Townsend could kick a goal, then it might have been it would have been a
completely
totally
different story. Yeah.
And it's not as if they are hard goals either.
No, they weren't. No, not at all. Yeah, no, they really, not statistically, but realistically, they should have won that game.
No,
really,
right.
At the
and
end of it,
keeping themselves in the game, you know, 63% completion rate.
Yeah.
You know, they had a lot of ball. But they're just, their first half was the killer, and it was just that Canberra's second half probably wasn't as bad. And that's what ended up counting in the end. Like, you know, the missed tackles of Cronulla were unbelievable as well. Like, you know, 49 missed tackles. Like, that just can't happen. And for them to be so close to winning that game is you know, they'll be a tough out.
Yeah.
So we'll move on to our studs and duds of the week. Which one do you want to start with?
Look, you know, hit us with your stud. Hit us with your stud.
It wasn't this last game, and I'm only pointing him out because of his age, and I think he's got a massive future, and a lot of people are saying he has a massive future, and that's Hudson Young. He's 22. He's a Maitland boy, so, you know, he's a Newcastle boy, so to speak. I'll put it that way.
Close enough. Hunter Valley.
Yeah, Hunter Valley. He's another one that's high on the Dally M points at 4 points. He just seems to – he's got an aggression. Like, he can – in that game, he forced 3 penalties against Cronulla, so he has a bit of an aggression about him. But he can find the line. He seems to find the line. The last 5 out of 6 games, he's found the line. So he's – which is good for my multi, because when I read that, I was putting it on him. So just, you know, for the multi fans. That trend's not going to continue, I can tell you that much. But he's a second row. Yeah, he's 22. I was trying to rack my – who is it, Bateman that just left? John Bateman wasn't it?
Yeah.
So – He's sort of slotted straight into that side. He looks good. He's going to be another one of those, you know, possibly fringe New South Wales player. I know they're going to have 1,000 second rowers, but I just like the way he plays.
1,000 second rowers, 1,000 wingers, 1,000 fullbacks.
Yeah, but we all need to play together. That's the problem. That's our biggest problem.
No,
that's
not. Yeah, look how that worked out for you last year.
He's doing so well. He's keeping Saliola on the bench and Ryan Sutton on the bench. Ryan James is always going to be on the bench. He knew that, but that's how well he's playing. So Elliot Whitehead is going to be the other one. So I think it's just because he can find the line in his aggression. He just stood out to me.
He was very good. He was very good in that game, and he's been, and to say consistent, it's only been 2 games into the season, but the first 2 games of the year he's been pretty good, and like you said, he's got a bit of aggression, got a bit of a mongrel about him. He had that sort of indiscretion last year where there was the eye gouging incident where he got suspended for a fairly big chunk of the season. Obviously you don't want to see that sort of garbage in the game, but hopefully he's learned from that. You know, he can sort of tame that aggression, but, you know, while still be a bit of a firebrand on the field.
And Canberra Senior, just before you go do yours, they see his value because they sign him to a new 3-year contract on Thursday.
Absolutely.
Your start of the week?
I mean, as much as I hate to sort of say it, but it's Ben Hunt.
Yeah.
That was his best game in 2 years.
He got 3
his best
points.
Best game in 2 years.
He got 3 points in the Dally M. He just
sliced and diced the Cowboys.
Yeah.
He ran the ball. He engaged the line of defense. He engaged the markers like he would normally do at number 9, but doing it with the 7 on his back, scored a try. He was everywhere. His kicking game was great. You know, finding the gaps in between, you know, the North Queensland fullback and wingers. Like it was everywhere. It was good in defence. You know, he's no slouch defensively, but it's just he was instrumental, absolutely instrumental in that win against the Cowboys on Saturday night.
Yeah, no, I agree. It was his, like you just said, then it's his best game I've seen in years, probably at least 2 years, like you said. At least.
And almost one of his best games in a Dragons uniform.
Yeah, yeah, which is saying something. So, and just, I mean, he's most likely not going to get that. I guess it's depending on what happens with Harry Grant. He most likely won't get that number nine position for Queensland.
No, but he can be pushing for some sort of utility. Yeah,
he
utility
needs to
position
be.
Or
I think
something
he
like
needs
that.
To be. I think he's a brilliant utility player. Yeah. In at least a Queensland, you know, stacked Queensland side. So
that's true.
Your dud of the week, which I think.
Look, I guess we sort of mentioned Chad Townsend there a little bit. You know, essentially, I think cost two chances to tie that game. You know, the Sharks did well to sort of get close towards the end of that game, misses a conversion to make it 12-12. They get the penalty with like 90 seconds to go, and it's pretty much in a very similar spot to where he had the conversion from, you know, not that long before to try and tie the game up again. And again, he shanks it to the left, and it goes to the left of the upright. He was pretty disappointed with himself. That was going to be my dud, but at this point in time, like, okay, we all make mistakes, you know. We make mistakes with people's names and things like that. Corey Parker.
Yeah.
Work on your game, mate. Like Friday night, he was trying to spit out something. Would have just been some sort of Broncos propaganda. I can only assume. I can't remember, and I really should have wrote it down. But he was stumbling and spitting all over himself, trying to spit out some words, and it sounded like the commentary team are having a bit of a laugh at him. On Saturday night, when he was commentating in the booth with Penrith and Canterbury, calling Momorowski Mamorowski. M-U-M.
M-O-M.
Yeah. Like, come on, man. You got to be better than that. And then he couldn't spit out Dalamartini Zalesniak. Dalamartini Zalesniak. Dalamartini Zalesniak. Dalamartini Zalesniak.
Yeah,
and he's stumbling all over himself, trying to say, "Oh, what a great play by DWZ." It's like, come on, man, this is your job.
Yeah.
You sit there and you immerse yourself in football all day, every day. This is what Fox Sports is probably paying you a nice, handsome salary for. Just get the names right.
It's
come on.
It's not like you're doing anything, sorry to say, but at the Broncos, because you got let go by Kevy. So.
Exactly. That's right. Kevy gave him the boot.
So I'm sure you got time to work out everybody's names. Wouldn't be that hard, really.
It's not that, or he's getting a little bit too involved in his super coach ads or standing on a bus in his jocks. But, like, just come on, man. Like, if he's been on TV long enough. Like, he's spitting, you know, he's spitting stuff out like that. It's like, just be better. Just be better. Like, we do it. We're amateurs. We've got day jobs. We do this. No, we do this as you know, as a passion, as a love.
So far, we didn't want to be paid for
sort
it.
Of, so, you know, high powered executive that's out there and wants a different podcast or you know a different view on things. You know, hey, check us out.
Sports bet would be great because all you do is if you pay us in a sports bet account, we'll shout out each time. We can talk about the bet of the week.
I'm being a gambler. Problems with that.
Mine is the dud of the week. It sort of compiles to everything you said last week, everything I just mentioned about the run meters, and it's the scrums, or really lack thereof, because the scrums are like diamonds. They're very valuable at the moment because there's next to no scrums.
They just don't happen anymore.
No. And it's all based on the rule change. So it befuddles me how many – well, and someone put it in a tweet. I think it was a Jack Cronin put it in a tweet perfectly. Is the goal of the new rules to make defensive lines look like a touch game with teams making huge meters but being too fatigued to actually do anything at the end of the sets?
which is exactly right. This is why you need scrums. You have big guys that do get fatigued, clearly.
You just need a break.
You need a break.
You can still have fatigue in the game and play it the way we did. We've said it before, and we'll say it all year. It's 30 seconds.
You're rubbing out your big men because they're going to be too fatigued. Like, they're just... You might as well have, 12 locks or 5/8 or something, something silly like that.
You might as well just have a forward pack full of second rowers.
It's absolutely ridiculous. I bet you, not so much Fox Sports, but I bet you Channel 9 are pissed because that's where they put all their ads in the scrums.
I get it. It's designed to sort of speed up the game. The thing that I don't like about it is there's no set plays off the scrum now because there's a very much massive lack of them. Yeah. You take those guys out, you spread the field because you've got six guys in the scrum. So you're going to have gaps. You can put on those kinds of plays and things like that where it goes out and we'll just have a play of the ball, 10 meters in from the touchline or in the middle of the field. I get it. It's there to design to speed the game up, but it's you're taking away the creativity of the coaches and the assistant coaches and the players as well to take away scrum plays.
Yeah,
and that's where you get your creativity from.
Ad lib,
you get a little bit of creativity, but that's spur of the moment sort of stuff. This is set plays. And they're being taken away.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. I love seeing wins against the scrum that you never see it hardly ever.
You probably get about five of them a year.
But I love seeing that. But like you just said, probably the better thing I like is that the backs doing their thing. The backs, getting their set plays. They train these set plays constantly. You see it on every news that they have these training sessions. All they're doing is doing death training and then setting up set plays. But, yeah, I like seeing more scrums just to give the forwards a break. That was my biggest problem with it. So.
Like we said, it's just you're taking away that creativity of your halves and your coaching staff. Like, this is what... This is what not so much that they're paid for, but you come up with these creative plays off the scrum, and you're taking people out of the line of defense, and it's good. It's good for the game.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. Do you have any news to sort of finish on before we wrap this up?
Look, I thought just one thing that might have been not so much noteworthy, but I guess it's sort of out there now with what the Broncos, obviously that they lost on Friday night, and they sort of, I guess it's might be a bit of a storm in a teacup, but and Corey Parker and Gordon Tallis are sort of on different sides of this. They were meant to have an old boys and current players bonding session, if you want to call getting trashed at Doonan or Eagle Farm a bonding session.
Sounds like a great Saturday.
Meet the old boys, getting to know the current players and everything like that. That builds culture at the club.
This is apparently an annual. Used to be an annual event.
Yeah, and because they got demoralised by the Gold Coast on Friday night, that upper management, Kevy has come out and said he's the one that's cancelled it. I don't buy that for one single solitary second.
No, I've been
canned by upper management.
I read a lot of things that said it was upper management that canned it. Kevy's doing what any coach would do, one, probably to save his job for starters, just to
They're just hog-tying him.
He's done the right thing by the club to say that. But, yeah, I it made no sense.
They'll get a corporate box there, right? So you don't really have to interact with a whole lot of other people. and, you know, people yelling out at you and go, boo, you're crap, and blah, blah. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not as if you're going to be sitting in the grandstand with everybody and just being bombarded by abuse all over the place. They'll have a nice little corporate box there. You don't have to interact with a whole lot of people outside of the club. It is what it is. You need to try and rebuild that culture. You need to try and rebuild a little bit of faith in the team, and just have, you know, get some stories from the older guys. You know, Petro Sivanisiva, Gordon Tallis. Darren Lockyer, legends that were at.
It's a young side. It's a very young side. So
they'd be very impressionable, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, 100%. And I don't know why. And Gordy Tallis, who was all for it, and, you know, he wasn't that happy that it was cancelled. Mind you, Gordon Tallis does not have a very.
He wasn't going to get free beers off the Broncos for one afternoon. That's all. Well,
but then Gordon Tallis doesn't have the greatest relationship with Broncos, considering he's a Gold Coast trainer as well. So.
Nah, that's right.
But it's funny then Corey comes out and said, well, you know, it's the same old people. Why are we even making a big dance song and dance about it? It's the same old people talking about these old boys. Like, you're an old boy.
He is now.
Yeah, he is.
But doesn't he want to see his beloved club, you know, have a culture again, you know, with your legends and your current players? Like, I don't understand why he would come out and say, oh, what are we making a big song and dance about it? Like, they need something there, because their recruitment has got to go out there and work harder for that club than what they've had to work in the last 25 years.
Yeah, it's no longer...
30 years.
It's no longer the Gamma Clemmer Club at all. It's no longer... Yes, you can get 1,000 third-party deals, but that doesn't mean everything all the time.
Yeah, but you don't It's not the Broncos of old, where you've got every kid in Queensland
lining up to
wear the Broncos emblem on their jersey. Like, it's just not like that anymore. You've got two other clubs in Queensland Kids aren't afraid to move away and go down to Sydney and pursue their football career.
Well, some of them want to go to Melbourne because
you know, some of them want to go to Canberra. You know what I mean? Like, they're not afraid to go out of their comfort zone, as long as they know that they're going to get the right training and the right discipline to further their football career.
And that's what you're right, because that's what I think the Broncos are still relying on, that they have that, you know, the glamour of the Brisbane Broncos. It's
an emblem on the jersey. Yeah, you want to play for that, don't you? Why don't you come down?
It
doesn't have that cachet anymore.
Because they're losing players left, right, and centre. I can't remember the couple of names, but a couple of young guys. You know, one of them signed for New Zealand for a three-year, $1.2 million offer.
He's going to be the incumbent to Roger Tuivasa-Sheck.
So that's
Parker, a guy saying that.
And that's a that's a team that just to put it in perspective, which is why I found it more mind blowing, because this is a team that everyone wanted to play for the Broncos, and this guy's gone to a team that not a lot of people want to sign for. So great for the Warriors that people want to go there, but it's terrible times up there for the Broncos. It's terrible.
Oh, that's it. And the Gold Coast are on the sniff. Or, you know, around guys like Xavier Coates and Tony Staggs as well.
They're Kevy.
He's got a job ahead of him.
I think I said in the first round. There's no way they can get rid of this. Is not Kevy's inherited this team. There's no way they'd have to give him this year, not as a write off, but you know, let him mold his own squad. You need a couple of years for that. You can't do it in 1 year. It's impossible.
I watched NRL 360 last night, and the panel on there sort of come out and said, okay, so this, you can't say it's a lost season. It's only round two, but you want to go out there and you want to, if this is going to be the squad that you're going to move forward with, or do you want to just go out there and just instill good fundamentals and basics and put together a kind of plan? So, you know, you want to have good kick chase, you want to have good tackling technique, you want to, you know, have effort, enthusiasm, those things that the Warriors have brought, especially, you know, last year with them being in Australia for a long time and not being able to go home, you know, this year again. Yeah, they're bringing effort and enthusiasm just in those little areas. Do you want to instill those kind of things into these young players that will further them even if they do move on? But it's the one percenters. Like even if you're not a superstar, like not everybody is a superstar. Not everybody's going to play Origin and play for your country. So you want good, competent, solid first graders that don't crack under pressure and don't make mistakes, don't give away silly penalties and things like that. That's what you want in a first grader.
I don't know personally, looking through that 1-17, who can you tell me one player that you would, I mean, there's probably a couple I should say, but what that you'd want to keep in that squad at the moment? There's probably a couple, so I shouldn't really harp on it that bad. But like Katoni Staggs, you'd want to keep. I mean, that's probably
the big kid Flegler. I think Flegler. He's good.
Yeah.
Look, that's like I said, they've got a few good young players there.
Yeah they do.
Love Jermaine Asako. Tessie New's good. Yeah, Xavier Jermaine Coates.
Do you know what I mean?
Like Katoni Staggs is going to have a lot of interest. When he comes back from the injury after him getting hurt last year. As much as I don't like the bloke and he's a bit of a big doofus, but Payne Haas is one hell of a player, and he's got a motor on him. He can play 65-70 minutes.
And
probably can't handle his grog and goes a little bit silly at police during the off season. So you've got character issues, with a couple of guys there. Tavita Pengai Jr. once again, like I said, two good games a year, and that's against the Cowboys. That's all he's good for.
I agree. I mean, I just, it's a building process there. That's all. And then, going off what you said at the start, on it made no sense to cancel that race day. Like you said, they would have been cordoned off. They may have gone in the crowd, but no one's. Yes, Brisbane's.
Oh, what you can't you can't handle a bit of criticism because you're playing like crap. Right.
But every time I've ever gone, I've seen Brisbane any players out. It doesn't matter who they are. Nine times out of ten, you don't see anybody arguing with these players. They all want to just shake the hand. They want to get autographs.
It only takes one dickhead.
Oh, of course it does. And it's probably at the races doesn't help because everyone's going to be, probably on the turps.
Well, that's right. By race seven, everyone's going to be slaughtered. So.
Race seven. Yeah, that's true. Race
actually,
three.
Probably even earlier than that.
Yeah, maybe race three or four. So.
Yeah, you haven't even got to the big group one race yet and everyone's hammered.
Good old races. That'll do it. Finishing on that note. Don't forget, follow us on our socials. You know what they are. They're on Twitter at Final Play Pod and also Facebook, which is Final Play Podcast. Obviously, you can get all our podcasts through Facebook, but you can definitely get it through gimco.com.au for your trading card needs. But yes, again, they have every single from 1 to, what are we up to, like 129 now, pods on there.
130, I think. We're racking them up.
Racking them up.
So, they had the Gimco/Eureka people all had a big massive get together and barbecue down there in Melbourne. Over last weekend, it looked like it was really fun. And this isn't just one of those things that you say, but one of these days when it's pre-planned and I get a little bit of extra time off, I will absolutely be going down to one of those barbecue events and bringing cards and stuff like that down there, because that looks like it's hella fun. Meeting the guys that you see on. On breaks and things that you see their face a lot, but to actually meet them in real life, I think would be really, really awesome. And just sort of, it just looks like a good sort of community of people. Like it looked like they put on a pretty good spread there for the barbecue. They're just sooner rather than later, Eureka Universe. I'll definitely be trying to venture down there to Melbourne. They had a big card fair, down there in Melbourne as well. And, apparently it was like 90% AFL cards, but there was a little bit of sort of NBA and other stuff sprinkled, which is fair enough. It's in Melbourne. We understand.
It's based in Melbourne.
Yeah, that's right. They're Fruit Loops. They like their they're AFL. So you know you can't hold it against them.
No, I agree. Well, that'll do it for this week. My name's Jason, gone by Race 5 Smith. depending on how hot it is. You usually bought when it's so hot.
Depending on how much you've been visiting the free buffet as well. I'm Miles, gone by Race 4 Plum.
Because you go to a races, it's hot. I was saying to this someone last week because there was races last week everywhere, obviously. The races, they're hot. You wear like the uncomfortable clothes. Not uncomfortable, but you're not wearing clothes.
But you got to dress up. You got to have the long pants. Oh,
which you're not going to wear in 32 degree weather generally. So no. You need to replenish yourself. And the only way, and that is not, there's hardly any water around. So
they do that on purpose.
So yeah, go on by race.
Absolutely, they do that on purpose. Oh, no water trough. Oh, $7 for a bottle of water.
If there's main races, I always put them on generally at the start because I'm. You know, basically throwing darts at that race 6, 7, and 8.
Exactly. Oh, you wouldn't even gamble on race 6, 7, and 8. You'd just be like,
anyone? I put a Maldi on all of them. You make no money out of it.
Put a bet on 12 to 1. Yeah, get on that one. You want value.
Yeah, no, you do it, and that's why. I'm sure we need sports bet because we want to talk. I'd love to talk value of like NBA at the moment and just some value that's going on for some teams even.
We still can.
So yeah, well come on, sports bet.
Nothing stops us from doing that.
Just give us $20 a week and we'll put it to something and we'll shout it out. We'll shout it out. Don't worry.
We'll shout it out there. No, well, that's it. You know, obviously, you know, we sort of ramble on a little bit here at the end of the pod. So if you want to turn off now, or you could turn off earlier. But
maybe
the trade deadline is coming up. It's in like 3 days from when we're recording this. Not a whole lot of big deals sort of going on. I'm a little bit.
They
got to be coming, right? They got to be coming.
Last year's was. Yeah, if you're not into NBA, you can tune out now. But last year, if you liked only NRL, last year's was a bit of a fizzer. I think with the names that are flying around, I think and the contracts that are up, I think this one will actually be kind of interesting. Still not, you know, your superstar names, but there'll be stars there. There'll be stars involved.
Well, there hasn't been a lot of deals sort of going around at the moment that's blowing my skirt up.
There's names getting flying around. Like the three that to me that keep getting flying around are Aaron Gordon, Victor Oladipo, and John Collins. That's all I keep hearing.
No, don't worry. I keep hearing plenty about JJ Redick and Lonzo Ball as well. Don't worry about that.
Well, Lonzo, yeah, we need to talk about this later because Lonzo wants some serious dough next year. I read that.
Oh, no, yeah. No, yeah. Well, he want it or does his pops want it?
Well, yeah, no, we'll talk about it in the NBA.
We said, you know, that's only a few days away. So, you know, as soon as we get those sort of news, and especially if they're sort of big trades and things like that, then we'll absolutely be putting it up on the Facebook page. So if you want to get your info, if it's going to be in the next couple of days as well, I will be working at night. So as soon as these things break, even if it's at 3 o'clock in the morning, they will be instantly put up on our Facebook page. So I will be all over it. But, we'll be doing an NBA one, I guess, over the weekend in between the multitude of games of football, the multiverse of football that's happening at the moment. So, as soon as the trade deadline is over and all these deals are made and rosters are set, we will absolutely be pumping out another NBA pod.
All right, have a good week, everyone.
All right, enjoy your footy, everybody, this weekend. See ya.